My guest is British fiction writer Faye Weldon. She's best known in this country for her novel The Life and Loves of a She-Devil, which was adapted for television. Her new book is called The Hearts and Lives of Men, and it's written as a fable. In his New York Times review, James Wilcox praised Weldon's narrative skill and said, "Her deft use of irony leaves plenty of room for the heartfelt emotions, even the frank sentimentality, that more cautious writers might shy away from." Weldon received degrees in economics and psychology and started her writing career in advertising. I asked her why she turned to fiction.
I had something to say, I suppose, so it seemed to me time to say it. I didn't set out to be a writer at all, but I've been writing for about 20 years, I suppose, now, and I began sort of with the women's movement, not because of it, but the pressures of women, on women were such that you realised there was just an enormous amount to be said. Nobody was saying it, and I should do it. So I did it.
Yeah. Did you ever think of it as a way to get your concept of people's psychology to the world?
Yes, I think. Well, I think I needed to work it out for myself before I could hand it on. But yes, that's part of it. I believe, in quotes, that self-understanding is what we're all about, or that's what we should be aiming for, almost, rather than happiness, which is how most people would put the same thing.
You know, I noticed that so many of your characters are risk-takers. Are you that way, too?
Yes, I think other people seem to think I am. I don't think so. It just seems to me I do what's in front of my nose, but they stand around sometimes wondering how I had the nerve to do it, and then I get frightened myself, but usually after I've done it.
One thing you do in The Hearts and Lives of Men is talk right to us as readers. Your narrator opens the book by saying, "Reader, I'm going to tell you the story of Clifford, Helen, and Little Nell." And it's a lot like Dickens to me, but most writers today don't try that style. I wonder why.
I think you've got to have an enormous self-confidence and nerve and say, here I am, I'm writing this book. In a way, you know who I am by now. I know who you are. Let's not pretend. I mean, I'm not some authorial god who nobody knows about working up in some ivory tower. I am me. You have seen me on television or heard me on radio or seen me at the school gate picking up the kids. So what is this pretense all about? I mean, I don't think I'll do it again, but it's one way of doing a novel, is being somehow in there with the reader, almost telling the reader what to think and feel and when they're allowed to disagree with me and when they're not.
Well, did you write Hearts and Lives the same way you wrote the rest of your books?
No, not at all, you see. It's kind of accidental novel. It started out as a serial in a woman's magazine written week by week, episode by episode, for the messenger waiting at the door on his motorbike to carry off to the printers. But it was the back of this woman's magazine, and I didn't think anybody would notice, really, and I never seemed to get any response from the readers, and only the girls in the office seemed to be really interested in it, so I just wrote it for them, really.
You mean you never knew what would happen each week?
No, I didn't. I knew. I didn't know how many episodes it was going to go on. I did ask if I could have 4 weeks' notice, please, before I had to draw it to an end. So it always had to be sort of so constructed, both that you could carry it on and that you could wrap up all these strands at the end, and that it made perfect sense, sort of episode by episode. And I would write little things up the top, the now read on bits, the story so far. And I really love doing those, and I would say things like, "Well, now we're on to episode 32, but do not fear, reader, you can still join in." This is the story to date, and that was great. And then, of course, when it turned into a novel, I had to take all those bits out, which I was rather sorry about, because I thought they were rather good.
Well, how did you make up your mind about what would happen next?
Well, I just thought it up, didn't I, on the train, usually, on the way in. And then you get a bit bored with it yourself, so something amazing would happen, liven it all up. And, I mean, it reads well for that reason, I think, because both I'd got to be very inventive, and yet sort of controlled at the same time. And I think readers actually respond to this kind of sort of instant energy, sort of instant literary energy, if you like.
This is a book about how men and women get along with each other. And I noticed a reviewer or two saying they thought it would make some men mad.
Well, yes, I expect so, but it would make some women mad too, because the women don't get along with the men too well, and they don't come out of it particularly well either. But I think women are accustomed in fiction to being seen as rather despicable, idle creatures, and just men aren't used to it, but they'll get used to it.
Now, Life and Loves of a She-Devil, your book was done on television by the BBC originally, and then played here in the United States. How did that feel to you, to see your book come alive that way?
Well, I've been writing television for a long time, and I was very gratified to see it done so well, in fact. There are always problems with adaptation, but I think they were terrific. I think the casting was amazing. I think their concentration on this story was extraordinary. You've got such an enormous audience, such a wide spectrum of people on TV, that in a way it needs to be written really quite simply. People pick up out of it what they will. You reach millions and millions of people through television.
Do you like that better?
Yes, you reach them in a different way. In television, the plot has to carry the meaning and the significance. People, the viewer has to be moved sufficiently by the kind of moral dilemmas they see on the screen to apply them back to their own lives. I mean, that is if you're writing television drama properly. In novels, I mean, as in The Hearts and Lives of Men, you can talk to them direct. You can put things to them at length and explain the subtleties of situations almost. So it's easier to write novels, but more responsibility.
You said that you're doing this because you want to be listened to. Do you feel famous?
No. No, I don't, because I don't think I've got it right yet. When I say I want to be listened to, it's not that I think I'm right, therefore I ought to be listened to. It's I wish to put things to people so that they can almost fight back or come to their own conclusions. I mean, I don't want to tell them what to think. I want them to think. That's all.
I end up thinking about the forces of good and evil in the world when I read your stories. Are you obsessed with that yourself?
I don't think I'm obsessed with it. I feel very conscious that it works through us. I mean, yeah, it's a very kind of old tradition in human beliefs that there are that of if you like, God and the devil, and it seems to strike some chord in the human heart that these things exist, or this is how we interpret them.
Are you any closer to figuring out why there's so much evil in the world?
Well, I think it is because of our inability to recognize it from in ourselves. I think, and this is what I hope my books do. They demonstrate, at least I hope they demonstrate, that we are all partly good and partly bad. It is not I am good, the others are all bad, but I am partly good, partly bad, and I will do what I can to understand and control the bad without being sort of losing my self-confidence entirely. It's very difficult for people to do. I mean, I go around wishing that I could meet a really bad somebody who said I am a bad person, but I never do. So, I conclude from that we're all mixed, and if we can recognize this, we're in a much better state to control it.
Faye Weldon's new book is titled The Hearts and Lives of Men. This is Fresh Air.